And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to Spin Rate, the Athletics Toronto Blue Jays podcast. My name is Drew Fairservice, and yes, we're here talking about your triumphant, non-stop winning, never losing Toronto Blue Jays as we record this here on Thursday, the authors of a seven-game winning streak, looking to extend it to eight later on today against those dreaded Chicago White Sox, evil twins of the, these Toronto Blue Jays. But yes, this is the Spin Rate on The Athletic, which of course you can subscribe to the show. If you go to wherever you get your podcast, subscribe to Spin Rate. You go to The Athletic, go to theathletic.com/spinrate, get a discount on a full year subscription. Read everything that my co-host Caitlin McGrath writes. She joins us once a week here on Spin Rate. The other episode, we record two per week. You can hear me joined by, as I am today, former Blue Jays All-Star Ricky Romero. Ricky, he joins us from Southern California. How are you?
I'm doing great, man. We were just talking off air. What a difference a week makes, right? A week ago, we wanted everyone was ready to give up on this team and the offensive woes. And wow, what a streak they've caught on to right now. And it's great to see. We've been saying it, Drew. We've been saying it. This team is going to hit. And here we are. They're hitting, which gives a little bit of a cushion to those starters now to where they can go out there and do their thing and they don't have to feel so worried about giving up a run or two here and there. It's good to have a little bit of a lead and a little bit of a comfort zone. Even though some games have still been close, it still feels good to see this offense rocking and rolling.
I'm going to say something that's potentially controversial. In a way, you know, number one, let me get it out of the way first. You never want to sneeze at a seven-game winning streak. Just like we talked about last week or on the weekend, I talked about with Caitlin as well. Like, bad teams don't win seven games in a row. They don't win 8, 9, 10 games in a row. Only good teams do that. And yeah, good teams, just like good teams, win blowouts and so on and so forth. In a small way, this winning streak reminds me a little bit of Vladimir Guerrero Jr.'s like weird anticlimactic hitting streak. Because it's like, yeah, he's got this 14-game hitting streak, but it's capable of so much more. The nature of the hits are not as, you know, not what he's capable of. The Blue Jays have won all these games, and I still somehow don't feel like they are, like they feel like they're in third gear.
Yeah.
Like it definitely feels like they've got another couple gears because sure, they're winning these games, but they're not blowing anybody out. They're not overwhelming and dominating. They're winning, but it still feels like they're capable of that much more.
100%. I agree. And you say it. You said it perfectly. I think they're still in like third gear, trying to get to second gear. And it's not like the whole lineup has put it together, but my goodness, those catchers, I mean, I'm sure we're going to talk about them more a little later on, but just the whole offense, like, and again, we bring up Santiago Espinal again. They're putting him at the top. They put him at the top of the lineup yesterday. He produces. They put him, he hit second in Anaheim. He did okay. And then when he, at the beginning of the year, he was at the bottom of the lineup and he was the engine down there. So it's just the way that this team has contributed and everyone has kind of chipped in and they're in the middle of a seven-game winning streak and they still haven't hit their stride. I mean, I don't know what else you can say, but this is good. And Vladdy, I mean, I still think there's still a little bit of pressing in there. He's still trying to do a little bit too much. But what I like to see out of a guy like Vladdy, and I watched the game yesterday, he's still at the top step of every home run, every run scored. He's not out there pouting. And that, to me, goes a long way, Drew. That shows mm-hmm. me what kind of teammate, what kind of leader he is. He's the guy dumping everyone with cold showers after games and stuff like that. If he was a shitty teammate, I guarantee you he wouldn't be doing stuff like that. He'd be pouting. He'd be in the clubhouse already because he didn't get a hit or it didn't go his way. But through this little bit of a rough patch that he's hit, He's showing me a lot as a team guy. And again, as a leader, and that's good to see.
You see, every so often he'll have a little outburst. He broke his bat over his leg. Like he smashed it on the ground and broken his bat. I think that was back in New York and little bits like that. But I think that you're right. He has that maturity. And that's sort of the weird kind of, not the weird, but the contrast within Vlad Jr. is that he's a young player, but he's a young man, but he's also he's a veteran in a lot of ways. He's been in the big league since 2019. He's got, 1,500 big league plate appearances.
No, but he's been in the big league since he was like 5 years old.
Well, yeah, that's the other thing too. He's also kind of brought up in the clubhouse. And when he goes to Anaheim, as we talked about, he's kind of welcomed as not as a hero, but there's a lot of, I don't know why. I guess I was just in my ignorance, but following some of the Angels writers who cover the team, like Sam Blum, who covers the team for The Athletic. And you see people in his, Twitter mentions being like, oh, gotta bring Vladdy home. It's like, whoa. He's fine. He's fine where he is. You keep your little grubby mitts, your little rally monkey mitts to yourself.
You go and enjoy Shohei.
You got Mike Trout. What else do you want? but I think you've made a great point, which is that he does have that veteran presence about him. He does have that understanding of like what's required, not only as a leader, but also as someone who's like a focal point for the game. I mean, I don't think he thinks about those things. I think he's just a good teammate. Like you said, he does the right thing. He makes largely good decisions, and he knows it's a team thing right now. And He of course came up with something that I think the Blue Jays have been lacking, and you and I were kind of talking about it a little bit before we started to record, and that was Wednesday's game. In a way, for me, was Wednesday's game was a really good example of like them making that step to the next level, because they didn't get a slim lead and then hang on for dear life for six innings. They ran out to a big lead. They gave a couple runs back. But then they held on. And then I think it feels like the thing that they haven't done all year, which is tack on those extra runs late to take some of the pressure off. So they're up 5-3. Then, Vlad goes deep and it's 7-3. And it just, okay, now we don't have to use Jordan Romano tonight. Now we don't have to use, the kind of the A relievers as much. We can get away with, again, a non-safe situation. You hate to see the manager manage to the statistic, but 4-run lead against a team like Chicago, okay, take the pressure off a little bit. And that is exactly what I think they needed to have done a few different times, and it just hasn't come. But hopefully that's the sign that, A, you're seeing a better representation of the offense, because that offense can come from different places in the lineup. As you mentioned, Santiago Espinal, if he's at the top, he's at the bottom. You got Kirk in there, you got Danny Jansen hit another home run. And then Vlad, of course, as Vlad sort of still scuffling, still finding his way. Bo Bichette draws 3 walks in a game. Like what, it's just an unusual kind of turn of events. But again, against a team that's not bad, right? Chicago probably expects to be a lot better than they are, dealing with a ton of injuries and all kinds of stuff here in this series in Toronto. But the Blue Jays are looking like that team that's crawling out of a hole, but they're not in a hole because they won so many games that maybe they didn't deserve to win early in the season.
Yeah, and they did it against a good pitcher too, Drew, last night in Michael Kopech. That dude can throw. He's got some filthy stuff, and the way they battled him and made him work was so good to see. And you mentioned late in the innings, it's almost like every Blue Jay fan has been living on an edge every single game. And you're right. It felt good to finally watch a game and kind of exhale. And I was literally watching the game on my iPad. I took the kids out on the pool. And when I saw that home run, it was like, oh, okay, I can hang out and pay a little bit more attention to you guys now in your swimming. But early on, I was like, man, like they need to get going. They need another insurance run or a couple, and then Vladdy hits that big home run. Actually, Danny kind of got it started, and then Vladdy just put him down for the count. So that it's always good to see. And I saw a pretty interesting stat yesterday, and it was during the White Sox broadcast, because when MLB Network, or when you buy the MLB package here, for some reason you only get they didn't ever show the Blue Jays for some reason, unless watch it on your app. But if you're watching it on TV, you have to watch the other team's telecast. So, but I saw this, and this is something that we'd been waiting for it to happen. And this is prior to yesterday's game. On their 6-game winning streak, batting average with runners in scoring position, .338. It's amazing. And that's what we've been waiting for.
Again, only a matter of time because of the quality of the players on the team. I think, right? Like, not like there's any kind of magical pixie dust we want to sprinkle on them. It's just like they got good hitters and they're eventually going to hit. But what a difference it makes.
Yeah. And it goes back to the Anaheim series. And you and Caitlin, I listened to the episode and you guys talked about it. And I think she mentioned it. It's the discipline that they showed all of a sudden. Bases loaded. They were drawing walks. And when was like that hardly ever happens, I feel like, in a big league game. Like, pitchers are really good that they're not going to walk guys in. And to see Gurriel do it twice, and I forget who was the other hitter who did it, who did it once. And when you're seeing the discipline, when you're seeing them be patient at the plate, I mean, they wore out Shohei Ohtani, even though he still had 10 strikeouts, they still kind of battled him. And just to see every game, and then you get to that Sunday slugfest, and they were just going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. All that good stuff, I mean, shows that this team has the potential to be dangerous, and they're showing it during the seven game winning streak. Again, Chicago is no slouchy team. They're supposed to be really, really good. And when you, like I mentioned, 338 batting average, they're averaging 6.83 runs per game. That's crazy, man. I mean, that definitely relieves a lot of pressure from the starters, even though they're still going out there and doing their thing. When you get comfortable leads like that, it just, I'm telling you from experience, it just makes your job that much easier when you're on that mound.
For sure. You can get back in the rocking chair and just fire strikes and not having to worry about be too fine and not have to worry about if this mistake is going to, you know, set the whole game back. I would say the one thing that is worth mentioning, and I saw a couple folks that I interact with who are White Sox fans or at least watch the team closely, was what happened last night with that insurance run. Might have been the first time the Blue Jays have outright visibly benefited from a player who wasn't able to come across the border because of their choice not to be vaccinated, because I can't remember his name, but missing Kendall Graveman in the bullpen, that would have been a good opportunity for him to get in there to face Vlad. If he's, you know, it's either him or Liam Hendricks, basically, you know, in and out that you're behind, but you don't want to go behind by four. But without that option, and they already used Kyle Crick quite a bit in the series, who came up as a sort of call up, and he actually pitched pretty well. The first time we may have seen it kind of benefit them in a really clear way. So, you know, there's been a lot of talk about that. I know that when the Twins come to town, there's going to be quite a few players who won't be able to come across as well. That's one of those things where you've got to like keep your eye on as the series begins. But, you know, they don't ask how, they ask how many, right? And the Blue Jays have won seven in a row. And while they, this time through the rotation hasn't been as, you know, lights out as some of the other kind of trips, which is kind of what we talked about when we were talking about these long win streaks, what it takes to pull one of these off. And the Blue Jays are doing it. They're getting by when Hyunjin Ryu came out after four, and there was some concern about his elbow that has been ongoing. You know, even Kevin Gausman was mortal for once going out. But of course, we got the guy Alek Manoah. This is the going today. So, you know, look
this
out.
This is where we're paging the big 2-4, Nate Pearson. Hurry up, dude. We're waiting for you. Seriously, what? I mean, hey, this is the opportunity for him. If Ryu's going to miss some time and this guy is ready, who knows if he's going to be a starter or reliever. We don't know that, but he's getting ready as a starter, correct?
Yeah, they still are stretching him out as far as I understand. I mean, I don't know that he'll get the starts, but if it's more of a long guy, you know, he's not going to be a one inning reliever. That much I know we can say for sure, but a great opportunity for him. And again, Ross Stripling, what a guy who just goes out there and does a job. He deserves all the credit in the world for being flexible, being able to, I mean, again, we talk about veteran guys, just a guy who's so good at getting himself ready and being ready and prepared for whatever situation he's called on. And he goes in there and he does a job, and he pitched really well.
He really does.
A couple times this week.
He was a closer in Anaheim one game. And he came in, did the job, and then they asked him to do middle relief duties yesterday, and what a job he did. Again, this is what we talk about, veteran presence, when we mention guys, these guys are needed in the clubhouse. And he comes from an organization here in LA that won a lot, and he was part of some great teams here. And then he goes over there, that bullpen is a pretty young bullpen. And other than him, David Phelps, obviously he's been in the big leagues for a while. But when you sprinkle those guys in, it makes a huge difference for that bullpen. And yeah, again, I mean, you got to tip your hat off to what he's done, what he's been able to do, and the way he's handled everything. And I feel like his interviews are always, yeah, whatever they ask me to do, this, that's what I'm going to do. And you appreciate a guy like that.
We'll be right back with more Spin Rate. But first, check this out.
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's the little birdie? Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
All right, so it's your turn now. You got to talk about your guy, Alejandro
Ooh.
Kirk.
Ooh,
two home runs in a game.
El Capitan.
Let me ask you this. So I'm going to ask you this straight up. I've seen a few people talking about this. Do you think the Blue Jays should use Alejandro Kirk as a trade piece, or is he a guy they should keep around as a big piece of this team moving forward? That's a hard question.
It is, because you still have Gabriel Moreno waiting in the wings, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, the only thing for me is, yes, Gabriel Moreno is the next big thing, but can he live up to that hype in the big leagues? That's the only thing. You just never know with prospects how they're going to turn out. But for now, I mean, the way, the discipline that he's shown at the plate at a young age, what is he, 23 years old? And just the veteran at-bats that he takes are incredible. And when you're seeing that, and he's like the engine right now too of that batting order. And I saw a tweet by Alec Manoa saying the other day, a couple of days ago, when he hit those home runs, how do you not love this guy? And I think that says a lot about who he is as a person in that clubhouse and the respect that they have for him. And it's just so good to see. I mean, with those two home runs and just, again, the at-bats that he takes, he goes out there and he gives you a professional at-bat. He's not going to be an easy out. He takes his walks and just the ultimate team guy. And he's, again, he's catching the shit out of it too. So when you have him and Danny Jansen, and Danny's been, you know, Babe Ruth all of a sudden, it's so good to see. And he mentioned it yesterday in his interview at post game. He was like, I'm getting my pitches and I'm not missing them. And that's him telling you that he's seeing the ball really, really well. And that's a good sign. But for me right now, I think Alejandro Kirk is part of his future, and as he should be. And I know early in the season we were talking about Zach Collins and that tremendous weekend that he had in Houston, I believe.
Never forget. Never forget that great weekend.
And I think that's what started Kirky's we lit a little bit of fire under his butt, and He proved us wrong, and rightfully so. He deserves all the playing time that he can get, and that's a good problem to have when you have two catchers like that. I mean, one can DH, the other one can catch, and again, it just makes this lineup so much deeper. And Kirk has been, oh man, I'm like running out of stuff to say about him, because again, he's so good.
Here's what I'm going to say. I think that you know, there's been, whether or not you want to make a move at the trade deadline, if you're the Blue Jays and you want to move a big piece to try to, you know, solidify a run at the World Series, with that in mind, you cannot trade Alejandro Kirk this year. If you, whether or not he's a part of the future of the team, he's a part of the present of the team. And you,
exactly.
There's no way that you can look to Gabby Moreno and say, come and take over and replicate what he's doing. You can't. We've seen the Blue Jays have made a series of moves this year that are like, they're not screwing around, right? You see Ryan Barucki gets DFA'd, which is tough. Like, what did they say? He's been in the Blue Jays organization for like 11 years or something crazy like that. And a guy who's just, you know, they've given him lots of chances, they've been ups and downs, starter, injury. Now he comes back, he's throwing hard. But like, that's a tough decision, but those are decisions that need to get made if your goal and your mission is win the World Series this year. It's not about asset management anymore, right? If you mm-hmm. think, oh, well, they squandered this opportunity, or somebody else could grab Barucci for a song, or pull him off of waivers, or make a trade, or whatever it is that happens. The Blue Jays are more concerned with putting the best team they can on the field every single night. And with that in mind, you cannot trade Alejandro Kirk this year. No. If you want to wait till the offseason, when maybe if he has a great season, his value is as high as it's ever going to be. You see if Gabby Moreno continues to rake at AAA, again, a good problem to have. But I don't think you can make any kind of move with him during the season. I think there's way too much risk and way too much of a hole. That's just too much production. Crazy to say that we're saying this out loud. Like, Alejandro Kirk produces way too much to try to replace, unless you're going out to get, I don't know, JT Realmuto. Like, who else? Because then, like, you've already got the best catching core basically in the league right now.
Exactly.
So you're not going to upgrade it. So there's the downgrade there is not worth the risk.
Yeah, they have two catchers right now. They definitely have the best duo in the big leagues. There's no doubt about that. And Dan Schulman tweeted this morning. I don't know if you saw this, but in May he hit .415, man, with only 6 strikeouts in 82 plate appearances. That's insane. In the big
leagues. It is insane. You know, the Blue Jays, yeah, like you said, the Blue Jays catching core, if you look at them as a group altogether, which includes some of the Zach Collinses and the Taylor Heinemans and stuff, they're still, you know, top two, top three in baseball. The Cubs have gotten obviously a lot of great production from Wilson Contreras this year. But
I think one of the biggest questions for Kirk was the framing and all that, the catching, mm-hmm. the defensive side, and that he's improved in that tremendously, and the mm-hmm. way he throws out runners too with ease, man, mm-hmm. it's just so good.
Well, and I think that I was talking about this at my baseball team last night, which was like, while he's not the most athletic appearing, he is quite athletic, but the framing is the thing that matters more, like so much more than anything else, because you catch a lot more pitches and you catch a lot more borderline pitches and you do have the opportunity to throw guys out. You do have the opportunity to block balls. All that stuff matters, right? You want mm-hmm. him to be a well-rounded catcher. Yeah. But when you are a good framer, you are just so far ahead of the game. And he's exactly that. And again, especially at the bottom of the zone, he's just really been owning the bottom of the zone and just putting the Blue Jays in such a good position to get all those strikes. And again, if you look at some of his advanced stats, he's still above average in terms of stolen bases and all the rest and just making plays. So a good problem to have, and one I put you on the spot, but I don't think there's any way.
No. With Kirk, this year. I really like that question, and it's true. There's no reason to trade him. The biggest goal this year is win now. Let's win now and let's see where it takes us from there. And if you have to sell at the end of the year, you sell. But there's no reason to right now when him and Danny Jansen are big time threats in this lineup, and they still have Teoscar Hernandez is coming around a little bit. I think he did a little bit of tweak to his batting stance. To me, it looked like he was standing a little bit straight up. I noticed that at the beginning of the series of the Chicago White Sox series, and it looked like he was hitting the ball a little harder. And then our guy Chappie, man, I mean, holy shit, when is it going to fall for him? I saw your tweet. I think the piss rod king or something like that.
the prince of piss rod palace. Yes.
Yeah, I mean,
you feel for him. It's like it's just they're not falling. I mean, he's getting his hits more so now. You know, his average and all that stuff is absolutely kind of trending up in the right way, but it's still not where it quote unquote deserves to be. The guy just hits the ball hard every single time. It just seems like we talked about the kind of proof positive of the advantage of the Blue Jays and the vaccination rules that are in play on both sides of the border. But the soft, you know, the goofy, squishy balls, Matt Chapman feels like the ultimate victim of like the new ball more than anybody else. Vlad's not the victim of the new ball when he's hitting it on the ground every time, but like poor Matt Chapman hitting it to the warning track, hitting it into just this side of the fence. And, you know, I was listening on the radio when I was driving home last night, and Ben Wagner was convinced it was out, the one he hit last night. You could hear it, like full throat, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, and he's at the track. And he pulls it in. Like, but
yeah. But you know what?
What do you say to a guy when this is happening? Like he knows, right? He knows.
Yeah, 100%. And I had a chance to talk to him when they were here in Anaheim, and his spirits are as high as they can be. Honestly, he was like, "Hey, man, I know it's gonna come around." Like he tends to be a pretty positive guy, and I don't think he ever worries. I'm sure when he goes home, he's mad about it, but at the same time, I think it shows what kind of player he is when he's playing defense, and it's not letting it get to him. He's not taking the offensive part into the defensive part. I mean, if anything, he's going to play defense 10 times harder, I feel like, because he's like, all right, well, if I'm not producing at the plate, this is the way I can help this team. And again, the way he makes those plays look sometimes at third base, it's just, I'm sure Blue Jay fans are getting accustomed to seeing it, and they're like, oh, yeah, I mean, wow, what a play. But a lot of those plays are so hard to make, but he makes them look so easy. And you got to appreciate that from a guy like that. And from guys that I've played with him, everything I've always heard about Matt Chapman is he's the ultimate clubhouse guy. And that's the one thing he said when I asked him. I was like, how's everything, man? How are you liking Toronto? And he goes, I love this team. That, and it just tells me the camaraderie that whole team has. You see it on TV, man, when they put the camera in the dugout and just the fun that they're having and all that good stuff. And it's like they're always communicating. So it's good to see. I mean, this team is for real when it comes to like how close they are. And yeah, I mean, if I was a teammate of Matt Chapman, I'd be like, keep doing what you're doing, dude. Do not change a thing. And he knows, he's a veteran. He knows that these maybe, hopefully it starts today, but they're going to start to fall. And when they start to fall, he's going to... Just wait and see. This is going to be even more fun than it is now.
What did I think Lourdes Gurriel in an interview called him Mateo Chapman or something like that? Like he's like an honorary member of the Barrio. And I guess he's like a Southern California guy too.
Yeah.
I wonder.
Yeah. He's a Cal State Fullerton guy. He's a little younger than me, but they've always raved about his defense and all that good stuff. And I mean, we know he can put up offensive numbers. He did it in Oakland, which is one of the hardest ballparks to hit at. So if anything, maybe to me is sometimes when you come to a new team, you're trying to impress everyone. You're trying to impress your teammates. You're trying to put a little bit of pressure on yourself to do that good because they've seen what you can do. I mean, he's been in the middle of being an MVP finalist and all that good stuff. So when you see stuff like that, I just think sometimes maybe a little bit of pressure on himself, but if I once he comes into his own, he's going to be the Matt Chapman that we're accustomed to seeing.
What I'm saying, my thing, and again, you and I have talked about this before, that he is the Matt Chapman of old. If you go to his Statcast page, which again, Statcast isn't about outcomes as much as about processes, but if you look at his 2022 Statcast numbers, average exit velocity, maximum exit velocity, hard hit rate, expected weighted on base, chase rate, defense, walks, expected slugging, sprint speed, outs above average, it looks exactly the same as when he was in 2018 and 2019, when he was that guy, when he was that MVP candidate. So to hear that his spirits are high is really good, because I would say the last thing you would want to see him do is change anything.
Yeah.
Right. If he's not doing all, you know, a great season, I feel like a great offensive season is built on the strong foundation, and the foundation that Matt Chapman has right now, hitting the ball hard, hitting the ball regularly, you know, taking his walks. Sure. He's got swing and miss in his game, but he always has, and he always will, being a good athlete as well, you know, with getting up and down the line, running, you know, going first to third, all that sort of stuff. And then of course, playing that unbelievable third base. You know, that's the foundation of a great player having a great season. So don't change anything. And if somehow we're in August and he has not put together a hot streak and not kind of pulled those numbers out from where they are, you know, and pulled them in line with what we'd expect from someone who does the things that he does, maybe then. But hear that he's feeling good, and hopefully then he can just hold the line and let the good ball luck come his way.
Yeah, and it was, what was it, a couple of days ago, just the presence that he has on defense where he turned a double play. Like
when he went to third tagged the bag and then went to second for that, like, to get that lead runner.
You never really see that, right? I mean, you don't see that kind of instincts on any infielder, and for him to have that instinct right away of I'm going to tag third base and go to second base, you never see that type of double play, and he executed it so well.
And that's, to me, that's a big speaks to his clock, right? The internal clock. But to have your internal clock and have it calibrated to go back across to second base, as opposed to, you know, all the things that you know that would ordinarily go into that calculation.
And Drew, honestly, there's very few guys in the big leagues that think like that. About a month ago, I listened to Derek Jeter, a podcast he was a part of, and he talked about that, the internal clock, and he knew what he was going to do before the ball was hit to him. Like, he knew, he's like, all right, I have my checklist and this is what I got to do. If it's this way, if it's that way, and boom. And I'm like, how the hell do you think that fast in a big league game? How is your brain working like that? And some guys can do it. And Matt Chapman is one of those guys.
I don't have that checklist in my head. I played third base last night. There's two outs. There were runners on first and second. Balls hit right to me. I kind of came into it. The runner, he ran right in front of me. But in my mind, I was like, there's two outs. Just go to first base. So I picked the ball up. I threw it onto first base. And everyone was like, oh, you know, nice play, whatever, which it was just a really routine play. But one guy was like, why didn't you just tag the runner? And I was like, not even going to bother. Like, that was not on my radar. But, like, those other guys are making those kinds of decisions and, like, including that stuff in their decision-making as they go in real time. Where
That's what makes these guys in the big league so special, that they're able to do that. They're able to – their instincts take over and their athleticism. And again, they're thinking ahead. They're thinking what they're going to do. They know the speed of the runner. They know who's running the bases. All that stuff is processing through your head. Obviously, a pitcher is just worried about getting an out. And these infielders, if there's runners on and stuff like that, they got to know where they want to go at times. And it's special when you see some of these guys play. And again, Matt, you got to tip your hat off to Matt Chapman and what he's been able to do defensively. And hopefully it falls for him. Hopefully he goes Pedro Serrano in the clubhouse or something with his bat and they start falling for him.
Mateo Chapman, he's right there. He and Pedro Serrano. More Spin Rate coming up right after these words from our sponsors.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie? Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
I could talk about my own experiences at third base all day long, but I won't. What we can talk about is what's coming up for the Blue Jays. So again, the road has gotten a little bit easier as they've gotten outside of the American League East. They do have a date with the first place Twins, who are obviously a good team, just like Chicago, but Twins, Royals, Tigers, Orioles coming up. We're not going to expect the Blue Jays to win every single game. You know, a 7-game winning streak is already way ahead of the game. But this is that opportunity, I think, against, especially as they start to get into the teams that the Royals have the worst pitching imaginable. Tigers pitching is quite good. The Orioles are the Orioles. You know, just a real opportunity to continue to get guys right and continue to just really fire on all cylinders and demonstrate to the rest of the league that the Blue Jays may have sputtered a little bit in the opening bits of the season, but this team is for real.
Absolutely. And the one thing you can't let happen is let your guard down. I saw it here with the Dodgers the past three nights against the Pittsburgh Pirates. They came in and got swept by them. I think it was the first time since like 2000 or something. Little stuff like that, you can't let it trickle down. If anything, you got to win series. If you lose one, you got to win the series. And we've talked about this before. It's almost like they're attitude games. Show me your attitude for this game, because it might be hard to get up for it because we know who the Kansas City Royals are. They're the worst pitching team in the big leagues, but that shouldn't matter. That's where the offense should start teeing off on these guys. And you can't come into a series thinking like, oh, this team's going to fold. At the end of the day, they're still big leaguers for a reason. And We've talked about this before too. That target with the Blue Jays is so big. It's so big. So everyone's going to bring their best at them no matter what. It's like they see that lineup and the starter's like, ooh, I want to get Vladdy out. I want to get Teoscar out. I want to get Matt Chapman out. I want to prove a point that I'm here. And and the Jays can't fall victims into them letting their guard down and saying, okay, yeah, we're just going to cruise by these teams. No, because if you think like that, they're going to get their asses kicked.
I feel like the I want to get Vladdy out thing is not uncommon. I think we saw that in 2019 in particular. He got pitched really tough when he first came up, A, because everybody knows what he's capable of, but B, also because it's like, I'm not going to let him get me. I'm not gonna end up on a highlight, because you know if Vladdy hits one out, it's going on all the social channels. Like MLB is gonna put it on Instagram. You don't get that if when you give up a home run maybe to Danny Jansen. The Blue Jays are again just continue to do their thing, I think, and they're gonna be what they are now, which is fine.
Yeah, yeah. Again, and you mentioned they're not gonna win every single game. You hope they do, but. It's all about gaining ground, because those damn Yankees won't lose. So if they gain ground, if they win series, if they win two out of three, if they sweep, then hey man, when you look at a road trip like that and you can sit back and say, oh, we went 7-2 on that road trip or 6-3, that's a big plus. Again, you want to sweep series, but it's not gonna happen. So they gotta stay within themselves. They gotta know what the plan is. They gotta attack every single opponent like they're playing the New York Yankees.
They don't have to worry about the Yankees for a little while. We got the doubleheader against the Angels here today on Thursday, though. Shohei Ohtani and Nestor Cortez. Matchup between the best pitcher in big leagues and Shohei Ohtani. Going to be crazy to watch. We will talk about all of that. How this weekend goes coming up against Minnesota when we next convene, when we reconvene on Spin Rate. Ricky and I will be back talking next week. Ricky, thank you again. It's always great to talk Blue Jays with you.
Always great, Drew. I enjoy it so much.
And thank you for indulging me when I mentioned my men's league escapades.
I like it. I like hearing about it.
We don't talk about my at-bats, which are non-competitive at best. I got to get in the cage.
Really quick, my dad still plays to this day. My dad is 50-something years old, and he still plays in the men's league. And he's been trying to convince me to come and play. And I'm like, you're crazy. You are crazy.
When the word got around on my team, what I do here, believe me, that there were suddenly a lot of opportunities for a left-handed pitcher to come out and join the Royal City Baseball League Brewers. They're like, you're going to get him out? I'm like, wow. probably not. He told me about his dad playing and his dad trying to get him out. And if his dad can't get him out, I don't know that we'll be able to get him out.
Oh, man. No.
No.
I'll think about it.
Do you still throw often? Do you still get up and get on the mound? No.
It's hard, man. It's hard to find somebody that can play catch. And the only throwing I do is when I throw BP to my youngest son, but that's just wiffle balls. So,
well, yeah. Next time when you're up here, you got a catcher.
All right. Sounds good.
We'll record it for posterity. But
I'll be in Toronto the whole month of July. So maybe we'll find a day where we can go out and play catch.
Damn it. I was only being nice. No, we'll do it. All right. His name is Ricky. My name is Drew. We will talk to you next time on Spin Rate.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic.
See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.